Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I have just two words for you.
Right now, it's Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
I don't know how you sucker me into this stuff,
what?
But the Kelvin temperature scale is used by scientists.
I'm impressed that I knew about you got the Fahrenheit, and then you got the Celsius, and then
right.
You got
Kelvin.
The Kelvin.
The Kelvin temperature scale is used by scientists because they wanted a temperature scale where zero reflects the complete absence of thermal energy. As you get to lower and lower temperatures, there are less and less vibrations in the material to provide these thermal.
What the heck do they need that for?
1 degree Kelvin. Do you think that's hot or cold?
It's got to be cold if they're looking for stuff.
Yeah, it's not hot. And in fact, it's nearly
as cold. Why do they call that Kelvin?
Well, I'm going to get to that. But 1 degree Kelvin is not hot at all. And in fact, is nearly as cold as is possible to be in our universe.
1 degree Kelvin.
Yeah, 1 degree Kelvin.
So
the Kelvin symbol is a K.
It's a K for Kelvin.
And is named after Belfast-born, an Irishman, and a University of Glasgow-based engineer and physicist, William Thompson, the first Baron of Kelvin.
Huh, what a coincidence.
And he sometime between 1824 and 1907.
Wow.
An Irishman.
Well, there you have it.
We would know what cold's like.
I'll tell you what puzzles me. You know, there's a lot in this universe that God has created that puzzles me, Michael.
Okay.
And it's raining out there right now, and it may be, raining where you are. And it dawned on me that in all of my 1,500 years on the planet, I have never seen a wet bird.
You've never seen a duck in a pond?
Well, a duck, but I'm sick. I'm talking
That's
about...
That's a bird.
Okay, fine. It's a bird. It's not really. I'm talking about...
A duck is not a bird?
Well, I'm talking about your bluebirds and your, cardinals and your, the birds in the backyard.
Well, you don't see them because they go and hide in the trees when it's raining.
Well, now, where do they go? And how do
they go into the tree in their little homes.
How do they stay dry, these birds? Because would think in a big
the
rainstorm...
The same way a duck does. It just goes right off
them. You would see a bird with water dripping off of them, right? Never seen one.
Yeah, you do. You see, when a duck comes in and lands in a pond.
Okay, a duck. I'll give you the duck.
Okay, that's a bird.
Duck lives in
that's
the water.
That's a bird, John.
But
and
the
so,
duck lives
but that's
in the
a bird
water.
That you see in water. So what happens is the duck comes in, he lands in the little pond there, and he's got water, but his little feathers repel it. And then when he gets out, sometimes you'll see a duck, shake himself just like a dog does.
Okay, but that's a duck.
Okay.
I'm talking about your hummingbirds, your robins out there.
No, they go and hide during the rain, John. They don't fly around in rain. I don't, well, maybe they do. I mean, maybe there's some birds that fly in rain, but I don't usually see many birds up in the air when it's raining.
Maybe it's like the pilot's license that you have to, you can only fly.
You can only fly if it's clear.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that called? IFR, VFR, something like that?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Do you take your driver's test and without your glasses?
No.
So you take your driver's test with your glasses
Yeah,
on.
You have to.
I mean, I am getting to the border where I'm going to have to start to use it, but I passed this most recent driver's test.
The one where you look in the little viewfinder?
Yeah, I had to squint hard, let me tell you, because if you get, on your license, they'll say, hey, you're supposed to have glasses.
Yeah, correction
and
required.
Right, and if you're out driving around and you don't have your glasses on and they pull you over, that's a ticket.
Never missed a sign. You know, what do you get, a license every 3 years, 6 years, something like that?
I think so.
Whatever it is.
I think the older you get, the more they make you do it.
I've never missed a sign.
Really?
Yeah. Now
John, I've seen you miss several signs. You missed a stop sign earlier when we were coming here.
Well, I'm talking about in the viewfinder.
Oh, okay.
Because the thing in the viewfinder, very, very sneaky, these people. mm-hmm. the sign doesn't say stop
no,
in the viewfinder.
They just have the octagon there. Yeah.
You know, it's very sneaky of them.
Uh-huh.
The little rectangle, it doesn't say yield on it.
No.
You just have to know that that's what
that
means.
That's not a rectangle. That's an upside down
that's
triangle.
That's a triangle. That's what I said.
Yeah, you said a rectangle.
No, I said a triangle.
Okay.
Mark the tape there, PJ.
We can go back and listen to it. What do you want to wager? You want to wager that birds get wet? Because I can tell you
well,
the birds
get wet. Well, they have to
get wet
because it rains and you're a bird. And it's not like you don't have a condo, you know, that you fly into during the rainstorm.
Haven't you ever walked in a park? Well, no, you haven't been walking in a park. But sometimes when you go walking in a park, you'll see birds that will have their little wings out, and they're just kind of sunning themselves because they're getting the precipitation off of their wings.
Really?
Because they get wet.
So birds do get wet.
Of course birds get wet.
All right.
This was proven the second I said duck.
But that's a duck.
Which is a bird.
Well, it's a kind of a bird, yes. But it's not the kind of bird I'm talking about.
Okay, so you're just talking about birds that we see flying around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the bird I'm talking about.
You ever been duck hunting?
Never.
Me neither. I don't think I could do it.
Shoot a duck?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I would.
You ever ate duck?
I have eaten duck, yes.
Duck breasts, right?
Yeah.
That's usually what they serve in restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure it tastes
You know
like,
what I made one night?
Tastes like chicken?
For dinner?
What?
Cornish game hen. Have you ever had that?
I'm sure I have at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But it's essentially chicken.
Yeah, right. It's a Cornish game hen.
Yeah.
And made that one night. So we have a dinner club. We've been together for 25 years every other month. It's
uh-huh.
six couples, so you host it once a year.
Right.
And a bunch of the men in this dinner club are very talented chefs.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are good.
How'd you get into the club?
And, my wife. So one year, it's been some years ago, me and the other non-chef among the group decided we were going to make a fancy dinner for everybody. So
this ought to be good.
So I had filet
uh-huh.
and Cornish game hen.
Yeah.
And then we made the, what did we call it? I shaved carrots into something, and I called it into the Cornish game hen.
Right.
And it was hen l'orange, we called it. and it was really good. And Georgianne was sick that night, so she wasn't there to partake of my excellent cuisine. So I proved that I could do it. I've started getting into cooking lately. So I made, it's been a couple of months ago now, I made a dish of pastizio, which is Greek lasagna. And I was so proud of it, I invited my father-in-law over. He loved my pastizio.
Really?
Yes, he absolutely loved it.
And he's like real Greek, too,
right?
He's
at my house as we speak cooking dinner.
Is he really? What's he cooking?
I think we're doing pot roast tonight, but they wouldn't quite tell me. But I did have to get the crock pot down this morning for Georgianne. So I'm guessing that there's a pot roast going on there.
So why do they call it a Cornish game hen? What's that mean, Mr.
Well,
Know-It-All?
It's from the Isle of Corn. it's an English thing.
The name is a specific reference to the fact that chickens are of the Cornish breed.
Yep.
Initially, the name guinea hen mm-hmm. was used to refer to the small birds, but Cornish game hen has become more popular as a result of Connecticut farmers, so it's essentially just chicken.
Well, it's a little guy, though.
Is a Cornish game hen just a baby chicken? That's what it is. So you cooked baby chicken.
I'm feeling bad about that.
I was at a restaurant one time with my mom and dad when I was younger, and they were with another couple friend of theirs. You know, when you're the bottom of the kids, you go to everything with your parents because they just want to be done being parents, and they're back being to their normal lives. And so I'll never forget the guy comes and he's going to describe the veal.
Mm.
And he says, this veal is the most tender veal that's ever been prepared and served in our restaurant.
Mm.
This calf's feet have never touched the ground. Guess what I've never had since I heard that. I mean, they just take this baby cow right then.
Yeah, I don't want to.
That sounds horrible.
Well, I don't want to think too much about it. And I'll tell you where they've got really good veal is at Napoli too. The veal chop salt in Boca. Mm.
Uh-huh.
Oh wow. Mm.
Wonder what cows do in the
Starving.
Rain. They just sit there and let it pour on them.
Yeah, I mean our cows. You know, I mean they're.
That's probably the only time they don't have flies all over them.
Yeah.
They probably like it when it's raining because the doggone flies leave them alone.
Yeah, and cows don't.
Where
have
do flies go during the rain?
I don't know, but they're not flying around.
Yeah. Do they get wet?
It's hard to say.
Because every time I've thrown water on a fly, he winds up drowning.
Well, nothing but the most pressing issues of the day. Here is Hancock and Kelly. Fill in for the DGS. We've got a couple more with you. Then Cardinal baseball pregame starts at 5:50 this afternoon. We'll be back after this on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're on the 1-2.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Remember the Oscars controversy with Will Smith and Chris Rock that consumed so much of the media for a while there?
Yeah, now I've totally forgotten about it.
Yeah. Well, Will Smith apparently released almost a 6-minute mini video that was an apology to Chris Rock.
Because Will Smith was the punchee.
Slappy.
Puncher. He was the puncher.
The slapper.
Uh-huh.
His hands were open. He didn't close fist it.
You're kidding me. That was Muhammad Ali, right? What? Didn't he play Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, he did. But when he walked
and
up, he said, keep my wife's name out of your mouth. And he slapped him across the face, and it was really an awkward moment.
And man,
I can't believe that was this year, right?
Was it, in January, probably?
Probably. Mm-hmm. It was in March. Oh, think about that. It was even more recent than that. So he puts out this 6-minute video saying, boy, I'm trying to evolve as a person. I think he's getting a lot of trouble. I think he's not getting hired to do jobs
in
Hollywood, etc. But Will Smith released the apology video, and Chris Rock is saying that he really has no interest in ever talking to Will Smith.
Ever again.
I kind of understand that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to talk to somebody slap me, especially if I'm on television.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems that I don't know what you do if you're Will Smith. You shouldn't have done it in the first place. But you waited this long to put out an apology? And if you're Chris Rock, it's like, no, dude, I'm not going to sit and listen to your nonsense.
Maybe he can get in that league.
Which league is that? Oh, the slapping league.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you this story. So one night we're preparing for the Monday night show, and the Hancock and Kelly show on Monday nights from 8 to 10 whenever there's not a Cardinal game. And Hancock tells me I've been at home watching something with Junior. And I said, what's that? And he says, it's a slap league. And I said, what's that? And he goes, Google it. And well, sure enough, you folks can do it. Google it right now, too. It's a slapping league,
yeah.
And it's essentially grown men and
big
women.
Ones. Big ones.
Who are standing with each other.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think, is the commissioner.
Yeah, he owns it or something.
Yeah.
And they just take turns slapping each other until one person
gives. So you're standing there, and your competitor steps up. A lot of these guys are from, Europe and stuff.
Yeah, Eastern European.
Right. And so the guy comes up. You're just standing there with your hands behind your back. And he rears back and just slaps you upside
him.
The head, man. I mean, open fist, you know.
And, yeah, right. And it's like they made this a contest, and so they get win money and stuff.
The guy's, he falls over. And then he gets up, and the crowd's into it. And the guy that just got slapped, he gets up.
Now it's his turn to slap.
And now it's his turn. It's, you would think, boom. And so it is back and forth like that. So you would think that by about the third or fourth slap, these
you'd
guys
punch
would be pretty angry with one another. But it's a whole like international competition.
Yeah, they slap. And women are competing in it as well. So I wound up watching one of the women thing, and I thought, well, maybe. And it was horrible. I'm just sitting there watching people. And imagine they're lined up like you would see at an arm wrestling tournament.
It's like being at a bar with Kelly.
And there's Arnold sitting in a chair in the corner smoking a stogie, and these massive mammals are just slapping each other.
Yeah, yeah. Man, you can hurt somebody.
Yeah, and they looked like they were in pretty good shape, too.
Yeah.
I don't think this wasn't just a bunch of fat guys sitting around saying, I got an idea, we can make money off of slapping each other.
Well, it's all about arm velocity, I would think.
Yeah.
You'd have to have enough you know, agility to be able to whip that arm around like
I've always worried that Guns N' Hoses was going to come to us and say, hey, we'd like to do a Democrat versus Republican boxing match.
Oh, let's do it,
buddy. I don't want to box you.
I'd look like
But that. I would get in the middle of Enterprise Center and have a slapping contest with you. Would you? We'd have to understand the rules, but we could slap each other, couldn't we?
That one officer that fought this last year, he was a big guy.
Well, the guy was what used to be with the FBI.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he made you and I look like little Boy Scouts.
Huge, this guy.
Yeah, he was a big dude.
Now, he lost, I think, didn't he?
I think he might have. Hey, speaking of being big, I've been back at it. I'm trying to get these LBs off of me.
I know you have. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, well, it's hard. And so, you know, and it's miserable. I was out walking this week. I've been walking every morning. You wake up, and it's like walking in soup in St. Louis.
Yeah, no good.
And, you know, I've been doing the weights and all that stuff.
Yeah, you went to the gym the other day.
I've been to the gym.
So proud of you.
I'm doing it, pal. But it occurred to me, I said, you know, if I lived in San Diego.
Yeah.
I'd be able to wear 5-inch shorts because I'd be so active that I would be slim. You know, San Diego clearly has the best weather. Do you think
absolutely.
You would be more active if you lived in a better weather climate?
Buddy, if I was in a lovely climate where mm-hmm. you could walk outside and enjoy nature, and it's not so humid that it's oppressive, I could be a marathon runner.
Really? You'd be like Amy Marks?
I would be like Amy Marks' course.
So does that mean she's tougher because we can't handle the weather and she's out there running 20 miles and this?
Yeah.
You know, the other day she was running in the rain, she told us. She was out running in the rain.
Well, what day was it this week that it was just stifling hot? Was that Monday?
Uh-huh. That's when I was out for my walk.
And she went running after her show, show.
Yeah, after the show.
Yeah, after the show, she went running.
Right. But I would just wonder, you know, and I do find when I go on vacation that I'm and it's a nice climate that I wind up doing some exercise, but I wonder if that's something you would keep going if you actually lived in a climate that was just constantly a perfect temperature.
Well, I can only speak for myself. And
please share.
I would be a virtual Jack LaLanne if I
Who's that?
Oh man. Dating myself. Jack LaLanne was one of the original fitness gurus.
Uh-huh.
He had a television show. He was the guy and lived into his 70s or 80s. He's still fit. I mean, Jack LaLanne was something else, buddy.
I never even heard of
You've
him.
You've never heard of Jack LaLanne?
Who I associate with fitness as a younger person was Jane Fonda. She used to have workout tapes.
And Richard Simmons.
Whatever
happened to Richard Simmons?
Now, he wore the 5-inch inseam shorts.
Oh, yeah, well, there you go, Braxton. So, Richard Simmons, dead or alive? I'm going to say he's alive. You?
No, he's alive. But he's like quarantined. There's a whole podcast about Richard Simmons, and there's this whole conspiracy that he's being manipulated by the people who are taking care of him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It's kind of like who used to count down the music stuff? You know, the number
Casey
10.
Casey
Kasem. Same thing. Casey Kasem's family, they fought over his body and his head for a long time. Seriously, because I think he got his head, like, so did the baseball player. What was the baseball player's name that was such
Ted
a great...
Ted Williams.
Yeah, he had his baseball...
Well, he got he chirogenics.
Yeah.
He was, yeah.
That's weird.
Georgianne, you're welcome to my head when it's all said and done. Michael Kelly and John Hancock, we're going to pay tribute to the late, great Vin Scully when we return for our final segment, perhaps ever, here on The Voice of St. Louis, KMLX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the home of the Cardinals. Looks like we're going to try and play a little baseball tonight. That's a good news. The Cardinals played well last night, and also last night, one of the great icons of Major League Baseball in the broadcasting booth for 67 years. Left the surly bonds of Earth at the age of 94 to be reunited with his bride, who passed away last year, the great Vin Scully. Has left us, and but he did leave us with some of the most memorable calls we'll ever hear. Wanted to spend this last segment before we go to the pregame show for Cardinal Baseball, honoring Vin Scully and playing some of his highlights. We're going to start off with Vin Scully reflecting on the first time he ever encountered the birds on the bat.
Well, when I was a kid, I loved to go to the Polo Grounds in New York and see the Cardinals. As a youngster, I thought the Cardinal uniform was the best thing I ever saw, with the bird sitting on the bat, red stockings with white circles. Wow.
Wow. It is a great logo, and it's just so iconic. When I was 10 years old was the first time I ever encountered Vin Scully. I remember I had just turned 10. It was early April, early in the season in 1974. And the Atlanta Braves were playing the Los Angeles Dodgers. It was a nationally televised game. And Vin Scully, the voice of the Dodgers at the time, was doing the game. And we were all expecting a potentially historic moment. Hank Aaron had concluded the 1973 season with 714 career home runs, just tied with the legendary record of the great Babe Ruth. And he entered the 1974 season. A lot of racial strife, a lot of threats made against Hank Aaron. It was a very unsettling time in this country. And Al Downing of the Los Angeles Dodgers was on the mound. I was watching the old Curtis Mathis television in my family room, and Vin Scully was behind the mic for this historic moment.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother. He threw his arms around his father, and as he left the home plate area, his mother came running across the grass, threw her arms around his neck, kissed him for all she was worth. As Aaron circled the bases, the Dodgers on the infield shook his hand, and that was a memorable moment. Aaron is being mobbed by photographers. He is holding his right hand high in the air, and for the first time in a long time, that poker face of Aaron shows the tremendous strain and relief of what it must have been like to live with for the past several months. It is over. At 10 minutes after 9 in Atlanta, Georgia, Henry Aaron has eclipsed the mark set by Babe Ruth. You could not, I guess, get two more opposite men. The Babe, big and garrulous and oh so sociable and oh so immense in all of his appetites. And then the quiet lad out of Mobile, Alabama, slender and stayed slender throughout his career. And so it was a memorable...
That call, that description, just sends chills down my spine. I saw it live as a 10-year-old child. Got to meet Hank Aaron the following year. He was doing a tour and signed a couple of balls for me. I interviewed him with my Panasonic cassette tape recorder, and I took it and played it at school the next day. Great moment for baseball, and Hank Aaron, what a great guy. Maybe the most famous of all of Vin Scully's calls, and there are many of them. He called Don Larsen's perfect game in the 1956 World Series, but he called this home run in a World Series, and I'm sure you'll all remember it.
And look who's coming up. And all year long, he answered the demands until he was physically unable to start tonight with two bad legs, the bad left hamstring and the swollen right knee. He's trying to catch lightning right now. 3-2 at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
And then Vin Scully wished us all goodbye.
You and I have been friends for a long time, but I know in my heart that I've always needed you more than you've ever needed me.
And I'll miss our time together more than I can say. But you know what? There will be a new day and eventually a new year. And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, oh, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.